Over in the Psalm 126, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You could take that as one of your motto texts to hold on to in 2019, that there is a guarantee of a harvest. And we know that we cannot tell who is going to be saved, but we know that we have a great responsibility in sowing the seed. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." And that seed that we're talking about, of course, is the word of God. And it is precious because there is life in it. It is precious because there is life in it. The truth of God's word, blessed by the Holy Spirit, it is to that that sinners owe their conversion. Peter was writing in his first epistle in chapter 1 about being born again, not of corruptible things, but speaking about the incorruptible seed there of the word of God. The seed is very precious because there is life in it. But the soil is also important. Yes, the seed is powerful and there's life in it. But in order for seed to germinate and to grow and to continue to grow on, then there has to be that soil or that ground upon which the gospel seed will fall that has been prepared by the Lord. And this is all brought before us here in this parable that the Lord has revealed to us in Luke's Gospel chapter 8. A parable, of course, meaning the word parallel, meaning a parallel or compare together. It's when you take an everyday or a not natural or a common object, in this case it's the farmer going out to sea to sow the seed, and you take that and you use it to illustrate spiritual truth. And when you do that, then you convey, the parable conveys spiritual truth to get the attention and arrest the attention of men and women who listen. And that's exactly what the Lord was doing on this occasion. And he says there in verse 8, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now bearing that in mind, when you look toward the end, the outcome was good for some of the seed. It says there that, but that on the good ground, verse 18, "Are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience?" There's four different types of ground that are mentioned here. And very often we look at this passage and we think, well, he was saved, but he didn't do so well. Well, I want to say to you tonight, there's only one good ground here. Only one good ground. But I want to look at this ground tonight, or these grounds tonight. And I want to look and do what the Lord Jesus here we believe was instructing people to do, where it says there, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That was after he had spoken about the natural farmer, the going out on his ground and sowing the seed there, whether it was wheat or whatever else the case might be. But then he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." It's as though there's an emphasis on how you hear. Now, you'll see there in verse 15 again, we said there was a good ending because we had the good ground. It says, "Having heard the word." That was the experience of everyone that is mentioned in this passage. So as there are four different types of ground, it brings us, as the Lord Jesus did here, to four individuals and four different ways of hearing. Four different ways of hearing. Title tonight is "Hearing the Word and Keeping It." Hearing the Word and Keeping It. Because in verse 15 you have the word "keep" there. The word literally in the original language means "obey it." You see, there was only one here who truly obeyed the word. Having heard the word, kept it or obeyed it. Some of you have done that in meetings. Some of the rest of us did it at home. But it was the word that we heard and we obeyed it. And that made all of the difference. So the title tonight, as we said to you there, is Having Heard the Word, Keep It. Having heard the word, keep it. And I want to look here just briefly with you at these folk who were hearing the word. I want you to notice here that there is pictured for us one who hears the word but has a heart full of the world. One who hears the word but has a heart full of the world. And we're not seeking to be offensive or embarrassing, but we must be honest. One who hears the word but has a heart full of the world. If you look there in verse 5, it says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the earth devoured it. If you were in Palestine in those days, there were paths in many instances between cultivated areas, or well, you could really call them tracks, but you had a big field here and another big one here and one over there, and you had this track going along in the middle, and it was often referred to as highway ground. And very often, as you would understand, this track was beaten hard by the wheels of all the different carts and the different carts that would be brought along in any given day, and the track would become something which was very hard, and people would often be seen travelling along on foot too on these places that were known as highway ground. And the farmer, when he was sowing, most of the seed would fall in the field, that's for sure, but some of it would inevitably spread out onto the pathway. And when it was in the pathway, there was nowhere for the seed to go down there, there was no soil there, and the ground, because it was hard and beaten hard by the traffic, it would not be able to receive it. And therefore, it would just be there and it would be perhaps eaten by the birds or by other animals. That is the case in sowing to this day outside the village of Buckton. We lived in Bempton, and it was a hamlet, and then it just followed on. There was Buckton, a lovely place with a little pond there. And I used to go down some evenings and walk and jog. And whenever I'd done all that, I did about 5 miles. I did it for a while. And I discovered after a while that rather than lose weight, I was convincing myself that I could eat an extra bar now. It didn't really work. I kept fit. That's true. I kept fitter, but I didn't keep any lighter. But I did keep fitter. And when I was walking along that little country lane, in the springtime, there was lots of cereal in that part of the world, wheat and barley and so on. And you would have seen there, if the farmer had been sowing with the old type sower that still left an awful lot of the seed on the top of the ground, some of it was scattered out onto the road. And if you'd been there maybe a week or two later, you would have seen the little barley starting to grow up maybe an inch high, and then the next week was a little bit higher and so on. But you didn't see any growing in the road because the road was hard and there was nowhere for it there to grow, because what had happened was the seed had fallen by the wayside. And what a picture we have in all of that. If a man or a woman, and I say this respectfully, a man or woman whose heart is filled with thought after thought of the world, not necessarily the gross vices that seem to be so all over the place now in society, maybe not even renowned for profane language or anything like that, but one on whom the world has such a grip that they have no heart for God's message, and it doesn't impact them at all. It doesn't have any effect upon them. It's as though there is drawn over their hearts and mind a very callous covering of worldliness. And their heart is just like the wayside, full of the world's traffic. And as the years, and dare we say it, sometimes decades have gone by, it's become harder and harder. And they can sit and listen. And I say this respectfully, they can listen without attention. And they can listen without affection. And they can listen with no desire to understand. I can say that because I did it in some degree for long enough. The word just didn't seem to have any impact so many times. And therefore, the word is rejected. And there are many men and women all over the place. We tend to have this thought, and it's a natural reaction. Suppose, you know, if you have a big, large congregation there, probably there's lots of people being saved there. Well, I can tell you, I'm talking to some of my brethren this week, that is not the case. I was talking to one man, and there's probably about 120 go there on a Sunday morning, and he said, it's so long now from someone got saved to church, I can't remember the last time. That is absolutely no reflection upon him or his office bearers, his elders, the people in the church. It's no reflection upon him. It's a sign of the hardness of the day. So much seed is falling by the wayside. It's quite a scary passage over there in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. It talks about the day of the Lord's goodness and the riches of his goodness. And men and women, it's good to recognize God's goodness and allowing us to hear the word. It says in verse 4 of Romans 2, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. That's an awful thought. Someone who has been a recipient of the goodness of God and continually they're gathering up wrath against the day, or treasuring up wrath unto thyself, wrath against the day of wrath. I was actually thinking about that. I think it was Wednesday morning when one of the men was praying, and he prayed from a heavy heart. And he prayed for the boys and girls and the young people who gladly come up through Sabbath school. And then into the Bible times. And then out into the world and you never see them again. And that is an awful thought. And it's a heartbreaking thought for a school teacher, Sunday school teacher, someone who taught you in your youngest days. And they're praying for you and they're hopeful that you will be saved. You go up through Sunday school, up into the Bible class, and then out into the world with all of your heart. Listening to the word hasn't had any impact. And there are people tonight, so many of them, and maybe were tender-hearted long ago. And there's a hardness there tonight that me or no other preacher can do anything with. Cannot create an anxious thought. You see, seed that is on the hard ground or the wayside, yes, it's on it, but it's not in it. So it was with that big country lane just outside Buckton Hamlet. The barley field was doing really well. The road wasn't growing anything because the seed was on it and not in it. And that reminds me that the very best attender at gospel missions and gospel meetings is the devil. Unsaved person, maybe you've forgotten about him and how he can come. And it can snatch the word away. And bring those things into your mind that will harden your heart more and more. I always remember one of the times in outreach, and I know there were many things happened when we went in outreach, and if you're going to be knocking doors in a strange area and you're a strange person, you're going to hear stories. And sometimes people just want you to listen, and that's fair enough. Other times they will want to get some things off their chest that they want to say to you and make sure you hear them. Well, that's all right. You can listen to that too. But sometimes the stories are very, very sad. And there was way around one country lane. Me and another fellow went to the door. And that very morning, there had been another minister round. And she told me, because I talked to her, and I, I said, we're just giving out invitations to the mission, and you'd be very welcome to come along. The folk would be glad to see you there. We're just Bible students. We're strange to the area, but this is what we're doing at the moment. And she said, my minister was around this morning, and he told me that you were going around here. And he told me not to take the invitation. I didn't know what to say then. I didn't want to get into an argument with the woman. And she's only, I don't know, she might even have been 40. And I said, well, that's all right. You know, if you would you take the tract? And she said, no. I said, that's okay. And I want to turn away. And she said the most strange thing to me. Just as we turned away, and I said, thank you very much for your time anyway. What else can you do? There's no benefit in starting an argument on the door and round with someone. We're there to do the job, and if she was refusing to take it, that was it. There's nothing we could do. When I was turned away, she turned to me and she said, you know, I shouldn't be here. So I stopped and I said, well, what do you mean you shouldn't be here? And then she went into the detail about how, with the doctors and so on, she'd been on borrowed time long ago. She didn't look sick. But she had been really sick. But she hardened her heart now. And again, I said, you know, would you not take the tract? And she said, no. She wouldn't. Now, the rascal that was around in the morning time, telling her not to receive the invitation, he has to answer to God for himself. But men and women, I always remember that young woman, and she was young. I always remember the hardness. You're seeking to sow the seed, but there is an example of extreme hardness. A hearer that heart is full of the world. You'll find that that is generally what is the difficulty with people who will not respond to the gospel. So there is here this hearer whose heart is full of the world, and I hope that it's not you. And young people, please do not go out into the world. I've been saved long enough, and a lot older than you, and I know there's nothing there. I've had men sitting beside me who are extremely rich. I'm not one of them, by the way, and you know that. But sit beside me and praying for young people and saying, Lord, help them to understand when they're young that there's nothing in this world. Nothing in this world to compare with walking with God. And here's someone who had a lot. There's nothing to compare with walking with God. Let it not be said of you, Sunday school, Bible class, then embrace the world. Don't do it. Hearing with a heart that is full of the world. But there's another hearer here. That sounds a bit not good English, another hearer here. But that is, there's one here hearing with an emotional heart. Let's have another look at the verses, please. Remember what the Lord said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, be careful how you hear. That's really what the message there is. Be careful how you hear. We've already looked at one. The seed fell by the wayside. And you can see that down in the further verses as well there. Verse 12 tells us all about that. But let's look at the next one. It says there in verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And then it says there in verse 13, this is the parallel here, it says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation they fall away. And let me explain this one. This is the emotional hearer. Some of the fields in those days, some of the fields had hedges around them. You would know that. There were hedges around him there where the seed was sown. And here and there, beside the hedges, and quite frequently apparently, there were large stones or rocks because the fields had been cleared and these large stones had been removed from the middle of the field. And being in the side of the field, there was a tiny little bit of soil in some of them. And others will tell us that some of them, because they were removed to the side of the field, there was leaves that had decayed and rotten leaves there as well. So there was a tiny little bit of soil there. And if a seed was to fall upon that and to germinate, or to seem to germinate, there was no depth there. There was no way that it could come forth and bring forth fruit. And it would have to be that which sprung up and withered away because it lacked moisture. The roots could not penetrate the rock. That is what we're saying. Of course, that reminds us of those who come along and they hear the word. Don't get me wrong. When unsaved people tell me at the door, really enjoyed the message tonight, I'm glad that at least I listened in some way. But it's not what I want to hear. It's not what we want to hear. And they're not. These people are different from those whose hearts are full of the world because they listen gladly, but all is not well. And people like that, sometimes they will stop, they will have an interest, and they may make some kind of a commitment. But it's not repentance unto life. It's not a turning from sin. And it reminds me again of the curse, and that's what it is. The curse of easy believism in Northern Ireland today. That men don't have to turn from their sin. You just can hold on. Well, really, you can just hold on to it as long as you follow the Lord. And how you do that is beyond me, but that is the message. It is easy believism. And the seed here that seemed to be growing well when the sun came out and it withered up because it had no moisture. And of course it is a very vivid picture of those who have listened and they have decided in some way in their own heart that they're going to change things, but there has been no evangelical repentance. Let's never lose that, the importance of that. Evangelical repentance, repentance unto life, because we're dead naturally. Turning from sin. No root, no assurance, and no hope. And I've met people, again, exactly like this, who will seem to hear the word of God and respond to it in an emotional way. You hear some people saying sometimes, oh, you know, there's tears in the meeting, and that's good when there's people who are listening and there's a genuine concern there. But I'm, again, old enough to know that too, you need to be looking for more than that. Remember, again, in outreach, one of the ministers said to me one day, he said, would you take another student and go out and visit a man? He said, his brother comes along here, he's a Christian man, and would you go out and talk to him? And then he said to me, Reverend Beggs in Ballymena, he said to me, going out, he said, now just be careful when you're talking to him. Just be ready and be very careful. And I said, it will be. So he went, and we were talking to the man, and he came out to the door in a wheelchair. He was really, really pleasant. And we talked about the gospel and told him, I wasn't going to pull the wool over his eyes or even try to, told him where I was from and what we were doing and how we'd heard about his brother and we heard about him and we'd come along to invite him to the church. And he talked about a whole lot of things to do with church and so on. And then when we got round to talking to him about church, he said, I haven't missed Sunday morning in church for over a year. I thought, well, here's someone who's definitely listening. He could say it with almost a tear in his eye. I think he was 84 years old at the time. And then we mentioned being saved, and I can still remember that has to be the best part of 20 years ago now. I can still remember when we mentioned to him about being saved or the danger of being lost. I can still remember him laughing in my face. I'm saying, I have absolutely no intention of going there. And I said, well, the Bible talks you must be born again. What do you do with that? He says, I've already told you that I haven't missed church for a year on a Sunday morning. And that was his way of responding to the preaching of the word. It was just an emotional hearing of the word, and it made him feel that he had to do something. But the root of the matter was not in him. It was not in him. I actually have a friend to this day who did the very same thing when he was young. Somehow or other it got out that he'd made a profession and he was happy enough to live with that. And no one could have pointed the finger at his life until I think he was about 18 and anything. One day he realized, he said, I'm not saved at all. I'm not saved. Whatever else I have, I'm definitely not saved. Very glad to listen to the word and glad to come along to the meetings, but not converted. Do you see what it says there again? It says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root. You don't forget that. Let's not capitalize on the fact that it says there, which for a while believe. They believe the message in the sense that it knows the truth. It says, and in time of temptation, fall away. It means they show there's absolutely no root in them. I wonder, are you an emotional hearer? You know, there are people who come to meetings and they cry and they say things, you know, that would really make you think, and that would give you something to think about, and you hear it over and over and over again, and then eventually they're either gone out into eternity, else they've got so hard that they being emotional hearer is not their case anymore. They've moved on one. They don't hear in an emotional way now. They've moved to the hard stage where there's no effect anymore. Pray for, if you think you know anyone like that, pray for them now, that the Lord will yet have mercy upon them. Hearing with an emotional heart, that was one type of hearer. Hearing with a heart that was full of the world, that was another type of hearer. But there's also here, hearing with intent, but reluctance. Hearing with good intention, we'll say, but with reluctance. If you look there in verse 7, it says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. This seed was strangled. That's very clear indeed. But not only did the briars and the thorns and the bushes grow amongst and indeed form part of the hedge, in a part of the field, those thorn bushes had been imperfectly cleared. Many commentators will agree that that was as meant here. They had been imperfectly cleared, and their presence would ensure that some of the seed was destroyed. If you look there at verse 7, it says, and some among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And the hearer that is illustrated here is again different. Different from the man whose heart is full of the world, different from the one who is merely an emotional hearer. Here is someone who really listens and even has confidence that what they're listening to is the truth. Maybe they think, well, this is what I need. How many people have you heard saying that? One of my uncles, he's gone now. And I can remember when he was just saved. Sorry, when I was just saved. Him saying, oh, we could all do a lot worse and go away and get ourselves converted. Well, I can't judge, but he never left any profession. Heard the truth, I don't know, many times. And people who will admit their need. They'll even say, we know that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the cure for our state. Even some who have a desire to be free from, that is a very sad case where people have a desire to be free from the enslavement of sin. They're sickened of it, but they love it. And they want to hold on to it, and at the same time they want to get rid of it. I'm sure you've talked with some of them as well. And they want quiet of conscience, but they know it must be on God's terms. And it's right to say that they are concerned. But here's the problem. There is something that is holding them back. Something that is holding them back. That's why when we pray, brothers and sisters, it's good to pray for unsafe people that we know. Whatever it is that's holding them back, as there so often is something, that the Lord will take a dealing with it. Take a dealing with it. Verse 14, it says, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Does that not encompass a whole lot of areas where there could be something? That's what it says there. It says, are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. The word cares there is a word which refers to that which is a distraction, to draw you in a different direction. You have some of those Christian cares, everyday cares. And they can, if you're not very careful, those cares can take the joy out of your life. And that's why we're told to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. But with unsaved people, this can become the whole focus of their life. What about riches? Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Lord knows what you need and what I need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We only need to mention the pleasures. And there's so many people tonight, and there's a stumbling block there, and maybe you're one of them. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5 and 6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. You can't get that message through to people today. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. It can't be any plainer than that. What an awful situation. For people who know the way, they believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men who will come to him. They know that they need to be converted, and you've been talking to them, and so have I, and their breath's been reeking with drink. Maybe they've hardly fit the stand and saying, yes, Reverend Saul, I know. Mommy and Daddy didn't bring me up like this. And there's that good intention there. But right up to this very night, there's that reluctance to come. Brothers and sisters, pray on. It's the only way that this is going to change in Northern Ireland, in your family and mine. Pray on and hold on to God that he will bring them right through for himself, that he will deal with the stumbling block, because this hearer is not a converted person. Remember what was said. There's only one good soil. There's only one wise hearer. We're just going to look at him now in closing. And this is what we've called hearing with a ready heart. Hearing with a ready heart. A heart that is ready to respond. Verse 15. Or we can read about it in the actual seed on the ground there. In verse 8 it says, the other fell in good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried and said, he that hath ears, let him hear. It's so important how you hear. It's so important, hold on to what you hear and acting correctly upon what you hear. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Or as we said at the very start, we're right back to where we started. It says, keep it or obey it and bring forth fruit with patience. Here's a hearer, and he's saved. He's converted. He's come along and he's listened to the gospel. And he said, well, here's a message for me. And I know all the things that I love in my life. And some of them I don't want to let go of. But I know I have sin that I need to repent of. And he does it. He does it. And there's depth and moisture. And there's fertile and rich soil there. And this person, this hearer is saved. An honest heart. That's what it says. You see sin for what it is. See, it's been rationalized today and explained away, and it's not very often termed as sin. Well, sometimes you would feel like taking the TV and throwing it out through the window when you hear these boys on the say, oh, well, we've all our mistakes. We've all made them. Of course we have. But we're talking here about man's original sin that he's born with and his actual transgression. And that's everybody. And how in an honest heart he sees sin for what it is. It says here, did you notice what it says? In an honest and a good heart. Well, does the Bible not say there's none good but God? Well, let's qualify what we're talking about here. It means a non-prejudiced heart that is willing to be taught. As we come to a close tonight, I wonder, is your heart unprejudiced? Are you willing to accept the sinner's place? And are you willing to come to the Savior tonight as you listen again to the story that Jesus saves men and women who come to him? What did we say at the very start when we looked at those words? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Having heard the word, keep it. Obey it and believe it to the salvation of your soul. We appreciate every time that a man or woman or boy or girl comes to listen to the word. But the whole reason that we want you to listen is that you might obey the word, and that you might be transformed and changed and saved for time and for eternity. May the Lord bless you, few thoughts to all of your hearts this evening. Could we turn together?